The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The one and only Darren Green Show. And just like that, welcome again to the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Please be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube, please be sure to leave a comment. I cannot stress this enough. We got to hit them recommendations. And if you're not subscribed to the channel by now, what's going on with y'all? Subscribe to the GantDM channel, okay? And also to the audio listeners, hey, be sure that you're leaving a rate and review. We love those. And make sure you're following or subscribing from wherever you are listening to the podcast, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Every episode, I'm going to come up with a new site that hosts podcasts. I think Podbean? Is that something? There used to be a radio something. I forgot what they called it, but they closed it. You can listen to me on Amazon Podcast. Oh, we're not messing with Amazon, child. I forgot about that, girl. Yeah, we definitely boycotting Amazon out this bitch, okay? Sorry about that. Anyway, how you guys doing, child? Week report, what's going on? Not much to talk about. It's going to be a quick little intro into the week report. I started doing the Wednesday show. Hey, okay. You got me on Wednesdays now for the foreseeable, child, until I get like a new job or whatever. But I think the Wednesday show was as good. We'll keep it on Mondays because it seems like people like the Monday show. So fine. We'll keep it on Monday and we'll do Housewives. If the episode is lit, we'll do a Housewives show on Tuesday. But if not, you'll get my recap on the Wednesday show. Okay. And introducing the Wednesday show just makes it more content to make on YouTube because I want to be on here a lot more. I did a poll and these shades won. Okay, I will be wearing these. Now, I had bought these a long time ago for the cover art for the podcast. And I said, oh my goodness, I love these shades, but it just didn't go right with the outfit. That's why I chose the other ones that I did. So it's just happy that y'all like these. And I liked it too. Like, it really wasn't just, I was just trying to get an opinion for anybody. I like these glasses. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to wear them. So I just wanted to know what y'all thought. And we were just, we are linked. Okay. Subscribers, community, we see each other. Okay. Cause I definitely love those shades with the little fedora hat that I got on. And do you like the little bowl too? That's going to be the theme of the outfit. Cannot wait to unveil it. But so yeah, I was working on that and y'all did a little poll for that. You'll see me more on the community. Well, I guess it's called posts now. It's not called community tab anymore. So you'll be seeing me more on there interacting with you guys. I went in for an interview. Okay, hey.
Good for you.
Thank you, Nikki, honey. Oh, girl, wish me luck, child. Pray for me, honey. Because, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like the interview was well. It was another front desk position. Something just to say that I'm working right now because I need some seed money. I think the interview went well. I'll go in for another round, and that's when I'll initially find out if it's happening or not. And I'm not going to disclose what it is, what company to send there. We're just going to keep it real. I just did the interview. We over here moving and shaking. Also had some callbacks for other positions as well. So things is definitely lined up for me. And I have to get off the call. Well, not this ain't no call, but this is a podcast, girl. We have to get off this episode real soon because, you know, it's Sunday and I have a meeting at 12. Okay. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I might be doing a panel discussion in New York, NYC. So if you guys are watching this podcast or listening to this podcast in the NYC area, that's Jersey City, Newark, whatever you want to call it up north, I will be doing a panel discussion. I'm doing a meeting today to, like, I guess, talk about the ins and outs of it or whatever and what it's essentially about. But she told me it's like a podcasting thing. Like, it's people that seasoned podcasters or radio hosts come together for a panel discussion to talk about, like, trials and tribulations and all this other stuff. And I know podcasts. I know, like, this is what I know. I've been doing this for 7 years. So I know a thing or two about the podcasting world. So your boy will be on a panel discussion. I want to get into more. I want to do more of that just to broaden my horizon and get into more public speaking engagements, because one day I will be going on tour. The anal manifestation is happening. Okay. We will be touring with this show. Okay. And I want to get experience talking in front of people. Like, I've done a panel discussion before. I'm not saying I bombed it, but I definitely felt like I was not talking enough. Like the other people that was talking, that was on the panelist show. I definitely felt like, okay, I have room to grow. Okay. But I think that this subject is more geared to what I'm into. So I think I definitely know that I have a lot to say about, I have a lot to bring to the table. So that's coming up. We will let you know very soon. I will be promoting it once it's official that I will be doing that. So I'll let you know about that. Other than that, girl, we can get into the show because we have a lot to get into. We had some topics that we had to add in this morning. Because I'm like, oh, okay, this is hot. This is a hot topic. So we're going to be talking about Cardi B and how she's exposing Offset for being a goddamn weirdo. We'll get into that right after I get through this carousel. We also have to talk about the CEO, Lumina Foil, Lemon Pepper, whatever you want to call him, Lemmy, okay, being a snake. And I wouldn't even say a snake. Like, you are a snake. Like, I was about to say, like, a wolf in sheep's clothing. No, you are a snake. We've been through that, but I'm going to explain why. In a minute. We also got to talk about that streamer that got backlash for being real phobic with his son. All that and more coming up on the Darren Green Show, okay? And let's be clear, it's a lot more than what I just mentioned here. We can get started with the whole Cardi B and Offset situation, okay? Now, I'm going to read this little excerpt, and I'm going to give you guys my thoughts. Let me give y'all a little photo op, Chaz, just to let y'all know, girl, what's going on, Chaz. Now, following an Instagram live stream calling out Offset, Cardi B is now accusing him of threatening to unalive himself and her. Okay. Now, according to Cardi B, Offset has been sending her disturbing messages since the breakup. In a profanity-filled moment on Twitter Spaces, Cardi aired out her grievances, claiming that he's upset because, in quotes, he's upset because I sent his girlfriend messages of him begging me, saying that he was going to take away my life, and saying that he was going to take away his life and also take away my life as well. Now, Cardi continued detailing that Offset disturbs her peace. She said, in quotes, he harasses me, leaves me voicemails, and tries to lower my self-esteem. The accusations did not stop there. Cardi B stated that Offset has been sending people to harass her and her friends, as well as trying to interfere with their relationship. She said, in quotes, he sent a text message to somebody I'm dealing with, them having you-know-what whoopee. Okay, let's be very clear. And that's pretty much the big story of it. Cardi B is talking to a wide receiver by the name of Stephon Diggs. Okay, he's a wide receiver. Not sure what he plays. We don't get into sports here. We are going to get into sports a little bit later, but surface, okay? So, yeah, Stephon Diggs. Okay, just make sure I get that correct, because y'all going to check somebody in the comments. But anyway, he's been sending, Offset sent, like, X videos of her and Offset doing the things to that's crazy. I mean, even for Offset, that's like crazy. I would have never thought, just to give you guys my thoughts, that was some bizarre ass shit. Like, I had to almost, like, I almost didn't believe Cardi in the beginning, because I'm like, oh, Cardi is giving very much, like, she's lying or something like that. Like, she cannot be telling the truth. But I'm like, what the heck? Like, you telling this girl, you sending this girl boyfriend or person that she dealing with videos of you and Cardi doing the things? That's some weird, icky, on some Diddy type shit. I mean, bro, we pulling that out off the rip. It's giving very much Diddy. What? And then that's just, that's a form of revenge porn, isn't it? Because you're sharing, like, personal videos of somebody else. And to another man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure your meat was in the damn video too. So you exposing yourself, that's very weird. That's very weird. I think people are more on to that conversation than the fact that he said that he's going to off himself and then off Cardi and then off himself. Like, I think that's very, you don't want to take that lightly. Like, we've seen instances where men have sitting there, they're like a scorn lover, will sit there and be like, all right, if I can't have her, nobody can. And we just go, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill myself. Ain't nobody going to have. That's wild. That's some icky shit. I think Cardi definitely needs to take legal action. I think, look. Make sure that man can pay that child support. Make sure you get full custody of them kids. You know what I'm saying? Throw that around, child. That's crazy. It's unacceptable. And it's just, it's weird behavior. It's on the grounds of stalking almost, because this is, you're like calling this person. And mind you, you wanted this. Let's be very clear on this offset. You wanted this. From the moment you married her and have been sleeping with them strippers, to them other people, to them other girls, to them other girls, you have been sleeping around on Cardi for many years since this girl been in the limelight. Okay, this is what you wanted, and you thought she was going to sit there and be like, oh, well, I'm just going to continue to take you back and be dumb and this, that, and the third. Well, honey, like I said on my TikTok, it's a new day. And Cardi is not choosing your ass anymore. She's choosing herself, and she's choosing her damn sanity. And you can't fathom the fact that she is over your ass. And that's where that little bit of narcissism comes in there, because you can't fathom the thought that she's over you and that she's moved on. So now you're trying to scare off all the dudes that she's dealing with. That is some weird emo shit too, first of all, because you over here talking about something you want to kill yourself and then kill. Like, that's just very weird. I wouldn't even have the kids around your ass, honestly, because I don't know, you might want to take the kids with you too. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? That's just weird. And old boy is a wide receiver. You don't want to, like, Offset, you better tote that iron on you, because that's the only way you getting out of this if he ever see you in real life. You get what I'm saying? That's crazy. How do you? I just don't get it. But you know what? I actually do get it. Let me tell you what's going on here. Offset is fighting for his life. Let's be very clear on that. Offset is fighting for his life. We all know that Cardi is the breadwinner. I believe she was the breadwinner back when they first got together. At the end of the day, we haven't seen a hit from Offset Migos since I was girl freshman in my first college. Honey, because I went to two colleges. Hey. That was the last time you had a hit. And the person that you ended up marrying and screwing over, though her career is uncertain right now, because we don't know, because Cardi doing everything but an album, right? But the girl has managed to keep her money up. Like, she's doing brand deals, she's doing endorsements, and she's doing these fashion events and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure she's getting paid. And money is good. Like, Cardi is good financially. Let's be very clear. Just don't let the music stuff fool you. And to be honest, I wouldn't blame her if she never does an album again, because at the end of the day, like, your name is already out there and you can pretty much just be an influencer or like a hip hop star that's just like doing brand. I don't know what Cardi's doing, child, but at the end of the day, she's making money, okay? And you're not. What you doing, Offset, is bullshitting. You've been bullshitting and getting over her, messing with every Susie Q, Molly, Tina, and whatever you want to call it, okay? And now she's at the point where I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm leaving you. She left your ass, and now it's crunch time. It's crunch time because you ain't got your damn cash cow on your side, because we know you ain't doing nothing. The music ain't hitting. You ain't doing no brand deals. We see you in videos. I saw him recently on the Insta story, child. Big ass houses with empty spaces. No furniture. We know what that means, child. We know. You know when a rapper, child, got a big ass house and they be doing videos, you see that house, they got no furniture. It's just nothing but just walls and floor. Okay. Let's be very clear on that. So it's getting you. This economy, okay, it is getting you. It's getting a lot of these rappers. Let's be very clear. No shade. But it's getting you. And it's getting at you with the fact that she was able to find somebody. We don't know if things are set in stone with this wide receiver. This could be like a little fling or whatever. But if she do secure another ring, you get what I'm saying? That's her money plus his money. You get what I'm saying? She's in a good position. That's just what I'm saying here. Like, Cardi B is in a good position. Offset is dealing with stripper hoes that possibly feeding off of him. Child, at the end of the day, this man was banking off of Cardi B. But silly rabbit, you kept on screwing over that girl. If you would have just held on just a little longer, and not even just a little longer, but just been faithful and not do the fuck shit, you would still be married to this girl and your endeavors would have prolonged or whatever, and you would have just rode her coattail. But no, you wanted your cake and eat it too, and this is what happens. And now you're being weird and very emo and very just like crazy because she don't want you no more and she found somebody new. It's really weird in these streets. And it's so bad when I be agreeing with Cardi, like I'm on Cardi's side. Now I'm getting to your ass a little bit too, Cardi, because I feel like you should have definitely took, you need to be taking legal action. Like that should have been, he is threatening your life and his life. And he's also sending videos of you in a certain situation. You get what I'm saying? To your new boo. That's like I said, somebody said in the comments, it's revenge porn. She needs to take legal action. Going to spaces. I'm here. It gave us a topic today. But at the end of the day, child, you need to go out, go talk to your lawyer. Go talk to your lawyer, because that's not giving right there, child. I would have been taking his ass to court day one, the moment he would have sat there and said he was going to do something to me. Oh, maximum security. We making sure this dude don't ever get what it called, restraining order. I feel like that's going to be next. That's definitely going to be next, because I like, what more can this man do to really disrupt what you got going on? But anyway, I digress. I talk about this too much. I want to move on to this next topic because, girl. So let me go ahead and share the screen, child. Because all right. So it's a lot going on with the Zeus Network and the CEO, Lemmy. Okay, Lumina Full. Okay. Whatever you want to call it. Okay, so I'm gonna give you this. Let me see what I got, Chad. So this influencer went off on Liminal Plumber. I don't know how to pronounce this. We're gonna call him Lumina Foil. Now, some of y'all call him Lemon Pepper. I call him Lumina Foil. That's Lumina Foil. Okay, he's the CEO or alleged CEO of Zeus Network, and he just got dragged by this influencer by the name of D-Storm. Now, I remember D-Storm. He was a very popular Viner, like him and King Botch and like other people that I don't remember. They did a lot of skits and funny videos and stuff like that. And he was entertaining. I mean, he became like a really big star off of it. Like he moved on. He had other brand deals and he was put into other positions where he can do deals with people. And he has a really good career. But he had a partnership with Lumina Foil. And also King Batch and another influencer by the name of Amanda Kirmy. They were, the way he says it, they were co-founders of Zeus Network. Actually, this man coined the name. This man that I'm just showing you right here on this video, he coined the name Zeus Network because originally it was like Lumina Foil. It had other names, but the names wasn't given. But what Lemmy wanted was a social network, a black version of a social network, almost like Facebook type vibe. And I found that so funny that he said that. He says this in the video, because we're gonna watch this video. Honey, I'm gonna get my water out and everything. We're gonna watch this video. But it's funny how he said he wanted to mirror the social network. And I find it so crazy how when you look at in the real social network, when it came to Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg, like he screwed over his friend for the Facebook company as well. So it kind of mirrors. I find it so crazy that it parallels with this situation, because the way this man is talking, he talks for a whole 10 minutes, basically going through all the details. And like I said, we're going to get into it. And I also find it funny, before we get into anything, I find it so funny, okay, that none of the blogs, this topic has been out, let me see, this was March 29th, a whole day, because it's the 30th right now. Now, I could be wrong. By the time this podcast come out on Monday, they probably done made clips on it and stuff like that. It's going to be all over the Shade Room, this, that, and the third in neighborhoods. But anyway, that's besides the point. But I find it so funny how nobody's talking about it. Nobody's writing about it. None of these big blogs that's on Instagram and stuff like that is really talking about this. And they're not, because Zeus got them in line. I see, child, when they were announcing who was the official cast of the goddamn baddies, that demonic ass show, The Baddies, child. All of them blogs is posting up. They got exclusive videos and everything, child. They don't want to mess up that relationship they got with Lemmy. Because look, let me tell you something. I ain't going to lie. Zeus Network is a very popular show. Zeus Network has a lot of subscribers. You ain't getting none of mine, child. If I'm watching something on Zeus, honey, I'm pirating that shit. I'm just being honest. But these blogs have fallen in line. and y'all missed out on a good story, child. But you know what? We're going to break the story, child, because he's posting it. It's making its rounds on Twitter, but I want to help out in whatever the shape, way, that form. I'm going to repost the video here, and I'm going to let y'all see it. But this is essentially what this creator, D-Storm, said, okay? We're just going to play. I'm going to play most of it. I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing, but we're going to play most of it, okay?
Guys, but let me tell you something. Never trust tweets. Only trust receipts. I'm about to break down for you the entire situation when it comes to Zeus ownership. I get a call from a good friend of mine, Lamorne Morris. Congrats on your Emmy, by the way, my brother. Lamorne tells me that he has a colleague named Lemmy Plummer who wants to meet with me about starting a social network. His pitch was he wanted to start a black Netflix for influencers and call it the Social Network, which was already a Facebook movie, by the way. He offered me a good amount of equity in the company and said he was going to look out for Lamorne for connecting us. He never looked out for Lamorne. Now, at the time, I had the biggest series on the internet called the Caught Series.
Wait, baby, don't do that. No.
At over half a
billion views. It was nominated for an Emmy, 4 Streamies, winning 2. Then Lemmy asked me, are there any other influencers I could bring on as partners because we needed some heavy hitters in social media for this thing to work. I said, how about I reach out to another longtime friend of mine, King Batch. He had the numbers. Lemmy agreed. Batch agreed to join. Lemmy said we need one more partner, some diversity. So Batch reached out to Jake Paul. But Jake was working on another project and said, I'll at least give y'all an episode on round one.
Welcome to the Tajma Paul.
Then Batch said, what about another good friend of ours, Amanda Cerny? She was getting millions of views, making millions of dollars off of brand deals. We all agreed. Now, at this point, I broke down my equity so myself, Batch, and Amanda could have even equity across the board, and we all became co-founders.
I met with Daystorm, King Batch, and Amanda Cerny, who were pretty big influencers.
Yes.
And we ended up, I brought them on board.
Lemmy was supposed to be behind the scenes as the CEO, and the three of us were to be the face of the network, myself as the president. In the coming weeks, we started a group chat, and the founders came up with a new name for the social network. Some of the names was trash. Then one day I thought, wait, Nike was a Greek god. They were successful with their shoe and apparel line. Why don't we name ourselves after a Greek god? Let's be Zeus. So then Amanda's, I had a dog named Zeus. Shoot, I like it.
Daystorm actually came up with the name Zeus. We were strategizing and talking.
And I'm going to be pausing throughout the way, but I find it so funny how, you know, he's clocking the T here because these are actual interviews of Lumina Foil admitting of D-Storm's involvement of this app. So the fact that he's sitting there saying that it later on in the video, he's saying that, oh, they weren't a part of it and they put no money to it. Very telling.
About different names.
So then became the Zeus Network. In our operating agreement, Lemmy's job was to put up the money for the first round of content, which he'd get back soon as we launched. Myself, Batch, and Amanda's job was to use our audience and our face and our likeness to blow up the company and give it a legitimate name. Lemmy's like, look, guys, I'm a nobody, and you guys have the influence and celebrity to make this work. So that summer, we went hard as hell.
Zeus just came out today. You on this.
Okay, you going to die. At what point did you hear me say Zeus, man?
And let me tell you something. I remember when they were pushing Zeus Network. Okay, when I tell you it was like all these influencers and like Vine stars were making like their little skits promoting. I'm like, what is this? What is this? What's going on?
There's a number on the screen. Ignore that. It doesn't work. But the link in my bio does. Click on that right now and join Zeus today.
Subscribe.
As president, my job was also to go out and find as many creators as possible so that we could have enough content to live on the platform when it launched. To drive the necessary traffic to the platform, the flagship shows would be Batch, Amanda, and I also agreed to put season 2 of Caught onto Zeus. Shit, I even called in a favor from Uncle Snoop to pop up in the series, and he looked out for me.
Let's tear us apart.
Strike 1. You've been watching too much Zeus, nephew.
And then we spoke to 25 other creators who are also friends of ours and told them we'll give them a free series on Zeus if they promote the app. Lemmy promised all of them that they would get a percentage of the subscriptions. They didn't get a dime. So approaching the launch of Zeus, Lemmy calls me up crying, talking about the whole network about to go under because I ran out of money. I physically went into the office that entire summer and edited 4 series for Zeus. Then I put up $135,000 of my own money, paying for Bad Escorts, Caught Season 2, and 4 other creative series. Now, bear in mind, contractually, we weren't supposed to put up any money. But Lemmy said, I'm going to pay you back as soon as Zeus launches and we're profitable. Now, every show on Zeus has music in the background, but keep in mind, we had no more budget for music. So I called in another favor from my good friend Tommy Brown and Franks, and I said, yo, we need beats for Zeus. They done produced everything from Ariana Grande to Justin Bieber. Tommy gave us over 1,000 beats with a promise from Lemmy that they'd get paid back once Zeus was profitable. they never got paid.
And that's crazy.
We understood that Zeus couldn't just be successful in social media, and we needed a partner in traditional media. So I talked to my boy Fonz, and he links me with Tiffany, who works at SAG-AFTRA. Zeus ended up signing a historic deal as the first social platform to partner with SAG.
This the part that gets me. You messed up a SAG-AFTRA deal? You... It's like... It's a miracle that this organization is still running. Zeus Network. You... Over SAG-AFTRA. The people that got the damn Hollywood shut down? That's crazy.
SAG-AFTRA. And because of this partnership, I was also able to get a lot of the creators and actors their SAG card because they had shows and series on Zeus. And let me end up stabbing SAG-AFTRA in the back, by the way. This is why I say don't trust tweets. Only trust receipts. Let's keep it going. Now, since Zeus was a new platform and app, it was a lot of bugs that needed fixing. Now, our original tech partner, Nick, warned Lemmy that there was going to be some bugs and problems on launch day. But Lemmy ain't listen for shit. With his Napoleon complex, him and Nick used to get into it. So we throw this big-ass launch party in L.A. We had ice sculptures, DJs, red carpet, big screens. Amanda bit the bullet and did this big-ass deal with Diageo for half her rate so we could have Ciroc as a sponsor. We was in it.
It came together. We're doing our pre-launch parties. Coming out July 13th. I'm super stoked.
On launch day, all the creators who had a show on the platform promoted the hell out of Zeus. And over 45,000 people joined the platform that day. So now we on Easy Street. Until the next day, we get a call from our tech partner, Nick, who said there was a glitch in the system and everybody got into Zeus for free. We had to boot everybody out of Zeus and ask them to rejoin for the subscription price. And if you know anything about people, they ain't paying for shit after they got it for free. So the first round of Zeus was a wash. We had to scramble and come up with a plan for round two with no money. Then King Batch comes in clutch and saves the day and brings in our fifth partner, a silent investor named Ben Koo, who put up the funds we needed for round two. On round two, we changed up the plan and we used the funds from Ben Koo to make longer form content. Amanda secured Lil Tay, who was huge at the time. Bat secured B. Simone, who was huge at the time. I secured Quay, who was huge at the time. Mm-hmm. And Lemmy secured Michael Blackson. Those shows with TT being the flagship gave us enough subscribers and enough income to make it to the next season for even bigger shows.
Because when you think about Zeus, Zeus started off, it was like skits. It was like, I remember the I Love TT. It was like these fake actors acting like they're like contestant people trying to date T or whatever. Yeah, I didn't watch the Lil Tay stuff because, girl, we ain't doing that. But it's the simple fact that it used to be that and now it's become Bad Girls Club 2.0 and Jocelyn's Cabaret and shit and just a whole bunch of long-hanging fruit, okay?
Now, Lemmy controlled all the money at Zeus. And at this point, myself, Batch, and Amanda were pushed out while Lemmy's taking these interviews acting like he did it all by himself.
But you did have partners. So you did have partners. What happened to them niggas?
You tell me.
I Googled this shit. Stop it, man. Now, I remember seeing them.
You tell me.
So you bought them out, right?
You tell me what happened to these guys.
King Bach. Yeah. So King Bach, Amanda Cerny. That's what I was like. That's when they were lit.
Yeah, like I said, I created Zeus. I ended up investing my own capital. They didn't put in any money. They didn't do anything.
He seized all the Zeus accounts, got himself all this heavy security, and started spewing lies.
I thought they would bring some value, bring some money to the table, and do their thing, and they did.
Let me tell you something. Anybody who needs that kind of security is either super famous or did a lot of people dirty.
We, part of what makes this whole platform special is, yes, you guys are partners and owners with me in this.
Caught it. So you told DJ Academics that they weren't your partners, but you saying it on candid voice notes that they were partners.
And what you bring to the table, like you said, is relationships. People would not do this if it wasn't because of you and King Batch and Amanda.
Now, when you have a successful company like Zeus, you do something called partner payouts. Lemmy pays himself, but never pays his partner. Mm. To be totally transparent, we had a falling out because a good friend of ours, who is now a successful Latin artist and used to be Lemmy's assistant, told us that he sexually assaulted her. Ooh. Till this day, myself, Batch, and Amanda, we receive K-1 tax documents stating that we make millions of dollars from the Zeus network as partners. So we're paying taxes on money that we never received. So while Lemmy Plummer walks through Paris with five security guards and designer clothes and purchases, let me just read this, new home, RVs.
Lemmy done bought me a truck from a brand.
They had to pay the taxes, and we can stop here because, I mean, he goes on to say that they've been actively taking legal action against Aluminum Foil and Zeus Network and trying to get their money back. They have been paying taxes. taxes for money that they never received. I would have lost my mind. Let's get to the breakdown. What I feel about this, it's one of those quotes where I always say, if everybody is saying the same thing about one person, it's probably true. We've seen Ray J call him out. We've seen his own cast, like from various baddies and Jocelyn's Cabaret show, call him out. The whole SA thing. We have people, we have cast members that he said, put him in a room with a contract and say, you better do this or you won't get that. You get what I'm saying? He's like the Diddy of reality TV. You get what I'm saying? And you put out this low-hanging, demonic-ass show like Baddies, where you, with these girls over here saying, Simon Says touch your head, Simon Says touch your face, and Simon Says fight. And these girls get to fight, and like, it is so much going on. And I can understand why he moved to that content, because nobody else was going to work with him, because you didn't fuck your way out of deals with people. To be honest, excuse my French. So you work with people that they need a platform. They're willing to get the $1,300 stipend each season. You know what I'm saying? These girls are fighting for their life. They losing teeth and people getting shot for a $1,300 check. but you get famous. You get brand deals. You get all this other stuff, child. These girls are dependent on Zeus. It was not like the Bad Girls Club where, okay, there was some people that didn't really go nowhere because they didn't push their stuff. But there was some people that really moved on and really elevated their lives after going on Bad Girls Club. You don't see that with Zeus. You don't see that with Zeus Network, child. Them girls stay stagnant. That's why some of these girls are coming back. We got Stunner Girl coming back after she had, first of all, wasn't she one of the victims of Lemmy? Luminiful? Allegedly, child. I don't know too much about that story, but I just know there was some shady shit going on. It's weird. And I think what makes it so sinister is the fact that you tried to work with these influencers, that these influencers got their claim to fame through Vine and other social media sites that really devalued and really did not pay them as much as you would get paid now. Like, this was before there was a creator fund on TikTok. Let's be very clear. You can talk about TikTok to the moon and sky, but that is the best way a content creator can make some fast cash, and a lot of it too. People paying their rent off that stuff. You was not doing that back in the Vine days. You was not doing that in early Facebook and early Instagram days. Not even YouTube, unless you really had your YouTube together. So the fact that the industry already cast them out and put them on, but not really pay them what they're worth, and you do the same thing as a black person trying to elevate other black people, it's so weird. And I always go back to that interview that he did with Fox Soul when Funky Dineva said, you have this low-hanging fruit content. And his response was, why are you doing this to a black business? And this is the shit I'm talking about when it comes to supporting these black businesses. Black businesses will want you to support them even if they have bad business practices. Sorry, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I'm going to go to Walmart. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm going to go to this diner that's been around for so many times. Y'all asses can't do what needs to be done. Y'all don't have good service. You get what I'm saying? It's a whole mess. It is a whole mess. Like I said earlier, I think it's so weird that a lot of these blogs are not talking about it because they scared. They want to get their little payouts because they probably getting paid from Zeus to post there. Because let's be very clear, the way they was hyping up this damn season, the baddies going to Africa, child, they had these announcements of, oh, returning cast, new cast, oh, people that were benched. Like, I'm just like, what have we become as bloggers? You get what I'm saying? Let me say something. I'm new to this, to them. I'm still on the outskirts, child. The media didn't let me in, child. I'm very much independent. But, you know, have some goddamn just integrity, some journalistic integrity. Talk about this story. This is some for real that's going on. Maybe that's why I'm independent, child, because I can't sell. I can't sell in. And the moment I do, I need y'all to check me, honey. I need the listeners to check me. But I don't think I ever will, though, because I don't stand for bullies, and I don't stand for liars and cheats. You get what I'm saying? That is real messed up. And it's not really getting a lot of conversation. People are not conversating about it. People are not talking about it. It's very like on the a lot of smaller content creators are talking about it, of course. But I think that's messed up. Y'all will tell me what y'all think about that in the comments. We can move on off of that. Because I did want to switch gears a little bit, talk about this streamer since we're on the topic of content creators and stuff like that. So this YouTuber, Twitch streamer by the name of Funny Mike is responding to ongoing backlash that he's receiving after verbally punishing his son MJ on his recent live stream. You can see in this video, the boy is playing with a, it looks like, I thought it was an Etch a Sketch, you know, my old ass. It was some type of drawing or a tablet or something like that. And I guess the tablet was purple and some of his siblings was like, oh, he's playing with a girl's toy. And then he's cursing the poor boy out saying, you don't play with that. That's a girl's toy. You get packed out here. This and things threatening this boy. And people had some things to say about that. People didn't like that. People were saying that this was homophobic and how this is like, why would you say that to a kid? And the mother that was there that just sat there and did nothing and said nothing and was laughing. He said in quotes, because I'm not playing his video, he said, I don't want him playing with girls' toys. Raise your kids how you want to raise you. I don't give a F how y'all feel. Let me father him how I father him. He's going to be a man. This, that, and the third. Yeah, and many people are criticizing his parenting skills and pointing out the hypocrisies as Funny Mike has previously made gay jokes, dressed up as a girl, and did a lot of skits. And I loved how the people was clocking his T. Let's look at that. Okay, Exhibit A. Exhibit A. Exhibit B. Okay, Exhibit C. He's acting like some gay gang member child or something to that effect, honey. I don't remember him too much. I seen him a little bit. He was Facebook famous to me, but I guess he made it big on streaming at some point. Oh, yes, girl. Slay the Boots house down. Child in your summer fit. Okay. Here's my thing when it comes to this situation. And we always get to this conversation. It always seems to seep in. It almost reminds me of the whole little boy playing with the little kitchen set and everybody had a problem with that. Yes. You can't tell somebody how to parent their kids. We cannot, because he's going to continue to do what he's going to do. But it's when you put it on social media for the public consumption, people going to have an opinion. I don't understand how we're still. So that little response is, you're always going to get the response when you do fuck shit like that. Sorry, not sorry. I thought this topic was so funny, though. His wife was going back and forth with people on Twitter saying that that's my kid and this, that, and the third. He doing what he got to do. He being a father. He there. She's clapping back at other people's comments because it was a big conversation on Twitter this week. Looking a complete ass. The same way she was looking when she sat there silently and as this man told her son that he was going to turn him into a pack. Whole mother of the year. Okay. That's whole mother of the year, honey. That is mother of the year. Anyway, but also to this streamer, I love how people are like clocking his T and showing him like he's done gay content before or gay skits or gay or women skits and stuff like that repeatedly. And his son can't play with a tablet that's purple, but he can wear women's clothing. Because let's be very clear, him dressing up as a woman or him acting gay for a skit and stuff like that, it doesn't define his masculinity. It doesn't define his manhood or sexuality and all that other stuff. So we're able to understand that. But when his son plays with a purple tablet, oh no, that's a girl's toy. You can't be doing that. That's that soft stuff. That's that. Honey, you wore a dress. You wore a wig. For a living. Okay, because let's be very clear. You did them skits back in the day when the skits was a thing. I also think that the idea of a girl toy and boy toy, we need to really put to rest those things, those conversations. I remember, it made me think back when in my youth years, child. We about to get a little story time. I remember when I was young, and I played with a lot of toys. I played with a lot of action figures. Let's be very clear. I played with a lot of Star Wars action figures, Marvel, DC, you name it. Like, I was in it, too. I wasn't into wrestlers, though. I wasn't into the whole, that whole. Now, and my thing is this. It was a lot of dudes that was into that. And I'm like, these niggas is wearing close to thongs and leotards and tight bodies. This ain't gay to y'all. But anyway, I digress. But there was this one time where I wanted a Dirt Devil vacuum cleaner. There was. I am not going to hold you. Remember when Dirt Devil was a thing? That was a real popular vacuum cleaner. They had the toy version and it looked just like the actual vacuum cleaner and it made the noise and everything. And I wanted it. I wanted the vacuum because I was fascinated with vacuum cleaners, like actual vacuum cleaners. Like I wanted to always use them and stuff like that, even though I was too little to use a vacuum cleaner. I remember my mom was like, she was going to let me have it or whatever. But then, you know, another person in the family child did not, in the household did not want that. And it was a big fight for me to get that thing. And eventually I got the vacuum cleaner at the end of the day because shit was, the argument was fucking stupid. And I got the vacuum cleaner and played with it for a couple of weeks and was done with it after a minute because it was a vacuum cleaner. And ladies and gentlemen, my source of queerness, a Dirt Devil vacuum cleaner toy. Do y'all see how stupid this shit is? What is girls' toys and boys' toys? What is that? What? Why did we do that? I always thought the idea was actually stupid for me. And it brings us back to the whole kitchen set, like the boy playing with a kitchen set. We all played with the kitchen set when we was in preschool. There was a kitchen set in the preschool. Boys was playing with it, okay? We was cooking mini bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches and pancakes and all that stuff. It just makes, it makes no sense. And I can't expect any type of intellect. And I don't want to sound elitist in that way, but like, you can't really expect any type of intellectualism with a streamer like Funny Mike. I mean, he never was, we'll say, the sharpest tool in the toolbox or something, like wherever you want to call that quote. It just, people saw what they saw. They didn't like what they saw and they responded. And you, next time, maybe not have your kids on stream, child. Maybe not exploit your kids so that people can talk about them and they talk about you and your parenting styles and stuff like that. I just think that it's so weird. Another thing I found weird, and we can move on off this topic. Tamar Braxton, you is just one weird mofo. Let's be very clear on that. You thought I was done with this show, child. We is not done. We are just getting started. Tamar Braxton, she details her situation or her problem with Candy on The Breakfast Club and basically says that there is no problem. Well, take a look.
Why y'all throwing shit at each other?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have been pondering in my head.
And who started it?
Okay, so I'm not going to really get into it because I don't want to muster up the situation.
Okay.
We really basically wouldn't be here if I wasn't lied on. Mm-hmm. And that's my thing. Like, I can deal with anything, right, but don't lie on me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, same, what I mean? So that's my thing. And
wait, when you say lie, you're talking about when Candy said Todd did not come for you or threaten you, but you said he did when y'all had that backstage moment?
So that clip came up that was 3 years ago. And it really did something to me because she didn't choose to, like, divert from the situation. She chose to call me a clown. Mm. And that pissed me off because we wouldn't be here had it not been for the lies.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm. But what I don't want to do is continue that conversation and take away from all the hard work that I have been doing these past couple of years and make it about a beef that I actually...
Okay, so to bring this in layman's terms, you had a situation with Candy's husband, and instead of Candy defending you, she basically called you a clown and really just defended her husband in that situation. Why are you... And I hate to sound like Heavenly Child. Why are you arguing with the man? Anyway, I don't remember the situation. I remember there was something that happened backstage between Tamar and Candy and Todd or whatever Todd says, and Tamar didn't like her, whatever, and that's when she started really beefing with Candy. But, like, at the end of the day, somebody that is over it, somebody that is done and is, you know what, this is not affecting me anymore, you still went on to talk about her. You talked about her company or her restaurants and nobody in Atlanta wants to go there. You made, like, little shady comments. And then people be clocking your tea. Like, Jessie Wu got on her platform and said that the girl has been, Tamar reposted it, child. It's right here. She said that working with Tamar, I believe on the Ricky Smiley show, I'm not sure. I think she said Ricky Smiley. Anytime Candy's name got brought up in the situation, she was trying to find any and every reason to say that Candy's a bad person, really trying to convince people. And Tamar is that kind of person that will sit there. She that type of person, when you don't like somebody or when somebody, not me, I don't do it. But when somebody doesn't like somebody and they almost trying to convince you and guilt you into submission as to why this person is not a good person. And it's just, okay, well, I don't care what you're saying, but I think she's a good person. Like, I think I have nothing bad to say about her. Tamar is that person that just have that dislike for somebody. But they can't really explain why or articulate themselves on why. Because if you're talking about this old T of her not defending you when you was getting into it with her husband, girl, it's like, could we grow up sometime? Could we grow up sometime? I see why Tony don't really mess with you. Because you still have not grown up. You is not that little girl no more. You're not that little bratty little teenager.
And we can tell you're bothered because you reposted what Jesse Wu said, and then you were showing different clips and videos and tweets saying that, oh, I worked with Tamar and I had a good experience. Okay. Who are you trying to convince? At this point, who? I thought their beef started from Celebrity Big Brother. Like, she ain't messed with her because of that, because they got into a situation and it just never really resolved it. But it's a one-sided beef because Candy is not even talking about you. She's not even thinking about you. Not even. It's just, oh, okay. Well, I'm still doing my brands and business. I don't care what nobody got to say. Like, she's saying, like, little small innuendos here and there. But she's not even trying to engage in you. Like, it's giving weird. It's giving obsessed. Girl, and you don't even need to do. And that's the thing about Tamar. Tamar got so much talent. She got so much, whatever you want to call it. And they're saying that she needs her own television show. I agree. But girl, let it go, honey. Let it go. Chill. It's not that deep. Who else needs to let it go? Stephen A. Smith. Yeah. Yeah, he going out bad. Look, I said I was going to talk about sports. Now, here you go. So I actually did not get to talk about this, and I'm really trying to find where everything started, right? Yeah. So if y'all already know, so there was a video clip of LeBron basically checking Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith has been dragging or talking very critical about Bronny. I never really gave my opinion on it because I try to steer clear of like sports news, but you know, if it gets a little catty, I'm always there to talk about it. And it definitely got catty. It definitely got real catty. Like the video of him, because I guess Stephen A. Smith was at a game and LeBron basically confronted him and was like, yo, stop talking about my son, this, that, and the third. Ain't no problem here. You just stop talking about my son, this, that, and the third. Stephen A. Smith went on his platform to talk about it. And now he's talking about it again because I believe LeBron went on Mac McPhee's show. I don't know how to pronounce it. This is my man name. But he went on the show to discuss his response in all of this, because Stephen A. Smith made his initial response and now he made his response. He went on the show. He went on this show. This is a little bit what he had to say.
And hey, hey, legit. That feels like a moment that had been brewing for a long time.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're all,
oh yeah. That's a read.
You're seeing it as well.
It started off with, I didn't want to address it.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Yeah, it went viral. You wouldn't be not to talk about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously, it's... And like another, he completely missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job, to criticize or be in a position where, okay, if a guy's not performing, that is all part of the game. That's all part of the game. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players. And I think a lot of the media, including him, and I know he's gonna be happy as hell. He's gonna be smiling from ear to ear when he hears me talking about him again. Oh my God!
It seems like LeBron not really taking it serious. It's, look, at the end of the day, don't talk about my son, and I addressed you on it, and that's that on that. Stephen A. Smith, he's going on his little media circuit tour. He's having conversations. I was going to play a clip of his, but we're just going to talk about what he basically said. At the end of the day, it was a weak little moment. And I know I can fight. He would have beat my ass, but if he would have put hands on me, I would have did the same. He would have put hands on LeBron. That's basically the big story that got everybody talking. Sir. And then also he brings up the fact, like, you don't want me to bring up the fact that you were not at Kobe Bryant's memorial, like on some drama gossip page type shit. Like, at this point, are we doing sports media or are we doing the damn Wendy Williams show? You get what I'm saying? As a person that gets into celebrity gossip, I mean, God damn, you can't stray away from it, Stephen A. I think you found your calling. It's real. It was real funny to watch. He was going to put hands on LeBron. Honey, that boy was shaking. Oh, let me not say boy, he a grown ass man. He old as hell. That old man, okay, was shaking in whatever shoes he had on that day when LeBron addressed him as such. Now, here's my thing with the whole situation, because I never really did get to talk about my thoughts on it. I definitely feel like also two things could be true at the same time, right? Stephen A. Smith is corny. He's annoying. He's problematic. But also, he is the media. He is like a commentator. He's a pundit. He's going to do this stuff. He's going to critique the play. That's what they're supposed to do. From what my small research of what he's been saying about Bronny is basically just critique. It's not now personal attacks. What are the personal attacks? That he's ass. He's not good. He's no LeBron. That's all I've been hearing. And that's just critique. Like, you can't get mad because somebody want to critique your son. You put your son in his limelight. You put your son here. You get what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure, okay, the son probably wanted to follow in his footsteps and be a ball player and all this other stuff. But come on now. That's the name of the game. You are a public figure now. So that means people are going to be talking about you. And they're going to be talking about your son. And they're going to say, and if they're not, unfortunately, it's unfortunate when it comes to like really successful parents that have kids that want to get into that same field. You have to surpass your parents. And if you don't, even the slightest, you're trash. I think it's messed up, but that's the name of the game. That's how this, because he's a celebrity now. This is what y'all wanted. I don't think Stephen A. Smith said anything out the way about Bronny other than critiquing probably his play or whatever. If somebody in the comments that gets into his content, please show me where he says a personal attack, something that really warranted this little meetup. And I'll be like, okay, all right, well, he shouldn't have said that. But I don't know. I mean, I think that this whole situation was so weird. LeBron's not taking this serious. Stephen A. Smith loves this. He's getting a lot of attention from this. And I think he's getting a kick out of it too. Like, Stephen A. is definitely getting a kick out of this little situation. That's what it's become. Like, you're not doing any good media. You're just riding off a coattail of a declarated NBA star and his son. And you're getting a little bit of clout from it. That's all I see with this. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about that briefly. Now, we don't have any TikTok beef of the weeks, but I want to bring back this old segment that I did for the earlier shows, the Hoo Chow. Now, a Hoo Chow is smaller topics that I wanted to add into the show that just was like, what? Are you serious? Are y'all, what's going on? So we have a couple of the Hoo Chows. And what we got first on the docket, I'm pretty sure you guys already know, close the doors. Wait, let me play the video again, child.
Cost that is involved. There's 1,000 of you. I said, close them doors. Ushers, close the doors.
Ooh, child.
Close the doors. Close the doors.
Oh, my God. Gospel singer and Bishop Marvin Sapp is under fire for his unorthodox way of asking church members for donations because he's on video telling his ushers to close the doors until a huge goal is met. Now, that huge goal in question, he wanted $40,000 and needed everybody in that room and people online to donate $20. Okay. We've went from pastors guilt-tripping patrons for Rolexes to now kidnapping them. Can we say a slippery slope? Can we say a slippery freaking slope? Okay. I mean, what's next at this point? What's next? You got to pay a cover charge to get in here. I mean, I can get better treatment at a strip club. Look, tell me to go because I ain't giving them the ones and stuff like that. But you locking the door. It's like, girl. And we got the little pick me aunties over here defending them. Talk about some, oh my God. The people that's critiquing this man are the same people that crucified Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Jesus Christ was not panhandling people. And this is why I say, because a lot of people are saying, oh, my goodness, like, here y'all go with this. This is why people leave the church or this people stray away from the church. Yeah, because we don't want to be patronized like that. We do not. The thing is, right, the church is supposed to be a way for people to get closer to God. Even though I'm not a Christian, this is not my realm, but from what I've understand, what I've had conversations with people like that had these experiences where the pastors that they go to church for, they were toxic. They get into things behind closed doors. They doing all the deplorable things they telling you not to do. You get what I'm saying? And they putting that thing, they putting that damn golden bowl in your face so you can put money and cash into it. And now they ask for, like, girl, $20? That's crazy. I've heard somebody had, a friend of mine told me that they went to somebody, they boyfriend church, and the person gave them like $1.50, maybe $2. And she said, oh, I know you can do more than that. You can do more than that. Bitch, you better be lucky I'm giving you the dollar. That's, I think that's so wild. And it's so unfortunate that people really buy into this, because we have people defending this bishop still saying, oh, wait, $20 is not a lot. He only asked for $20. You just go ahead and pay. And he didn't really mean close. He didn't mean to tell them to close the doors because you can't go out. What the hell does that mean? If you're saying ushers close the door, that means you ain't leaving. He made a response. I'm not going to read that. I was going to bring that up here, but he made like a lengthy like essay. Basically, the whole premise of it was out of context. And I hate when people say that shit. I seriously hate when people say, oh, it's out of context. And when you ask for that context, the context is not in the room. Out of what context? You told them to close the door. You didn't want them to leave until they paid that damn $20. Let that have been me, child. I said, you will see God right now if you don't open this goddamn door. It's gonna bar somebody from closing the door. Hoo child. Hoo child. Okay. Now, the next topic I want to get into very briefly, we got to talk about, girl, I know, do I have to talk about this person? Andrew Tate. Hoo child. Well, the controversial internet figure Andrew Tate is facing a fresh legal trouble, as his ex-girlfriend has filed a lawsuit in Los Angeles accusing him of SA, battery, and violence. Okay, according to the lawsuit, the alleged attack happened March 11, 2025 at the Beverly Hills Hotel. The woman, identified as Stern, claims that while the two were having, you know what, Tate was violently choking her when she protested. Andrew basically began punching her in the head until he finished. Okay. Mind you, this is the person that Kanye wanted his daughter to meet. Hoo child. Okay. This is the person that y'all want to sit there and say that he's not a trafficker, and he ain't definitely a trafficker. Let's be very clear, though, too, because there's video footage of him actually doing this. There's video footage of him onto a girl and this, that, and the third, and he's smacking the shit out of her. He's throwing her around. I'm like, what type of content is this? Why is this even posted? Like, I seen it on Twitter or whatever. It's a whole thing. Yeah, he's a disgrace to humanity. Honestly, we cannot wait till he gets up out of here, child. Whatever that might mean. Hoo child. Anyway, they saying that Snow White flopped. I wanted to see this movie. Why y'all saying that the movie flopped? Did it really flop? Or people just was making their little runs, writing their little articles saying that this movie... Well, analysts have said that it's not looking good for Snow White. The budget was $270 million. A fair amount of bad press reports claim that Disney could lose over $100 million or more for this particular project. This movie is the lowest rated movie on IMDb history. I think it was like 1.something. It was 1.7 something. That's like the lowest of all movies. I'm going to tell y'all right now, when it comes to Snow White, I think Disney should just really just move on and make original content going forward. This is definitely the movie to show them that, hey, we want original content and please give it to us. But also, you do a disservice when you make these remakes, because let's be very clear. I ain't got nothing against Rachel Zegler. Is that her name? Let me make sure, because I got another video of her. Yeah, Rachel Zegler. Shout out to her. Let's give her a bomb, child. Because she is a good actress. Now, I can't say much for Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot, this girl was carrying this movie on her back. Let's be very clear. And I love her. I loved when she played in that Hunger Games movie. That was a real good movie. Okay. I think that it was a big disservice to her. It's looking like the writing is not good. It's looking like a lot of the elements of the story is good. Now, I didn't watch this yet, so I can't really say it's good or bad, because I'm not trusting articles of people. Because at the end of the day, let me tell you what happens. When a general public of writers, journalists, whatever you want to call it, or content creators, this and the third, they already have it set in stone that they don't like a movie. They will write articles. They will make video content and talk about how the movie is going to be bad before it even comes out. And then if a regular person is seeing that, why do I want to waste my money going to the movie theater and paying $18 for a movie that's probably going to be bad because so-and-so movie review said it's bad? So I'm going to judge for myself. You get what I'm saying? But I'm not expecting much. I'm just weird. Because the scenes I seen with Gal Gadot, I was like, girl, Gal Gadot, what was going on? Why can't we act today? Hoo, child. Anyway, what is another topic I want? Now, one last thing I wanted to talk about, child. Why Jess Hilarious? Jess, what do you say? Girl, she's talking about Kurt and Rashida. Girl, listen to this.
You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to please too many people and you're trying to look perfect in front of too many people. That's why I will say this, and I don't care who get mad at me. I love Kirk and Rashida from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta.
Ooh, child.
That is a perfect example of a marriage going through everything and a marriage standing every test and fighting through it and actually getting through it. And that's partnership right there. That's work. How going on?
No. Honey, that is just pain and suffering on Rashida's part. You can tell just by looking at her confessionals now, she'd just be looking so bad. Her eyes be so baggy, child. Girl. I'm sorry. And I'm not with that whole, oh, you got to death do you part. Man, you cheat on me enough, child. It's over. Fuck a death do us part. Like, I wouldn't have said Rashida, Kurt, and Rashida. That's the bad example. I don't want that for nobody. I don't even want that for Kurt. And he the one doing the shit. Absolutely not, child. Just be saying some doozies, honey. She definitely be saying some doozies, honey. Anyway, that's it for the Who Childs. We're actually done with this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I really did enjoy making this podcast episode. We'll see how it looks when I edit it or whatever. But like, I really did enjoy this show. I hope you did too. So talk to you guys later. We will either see you on Tuesday or Wednesday, okay? All right, bye y'all.